People can argue with the Bible. They can argue about creation. They can argue about this and argue about that. But it's really hard for them to argue with your story because it happened to you. This is what Jesus did for me. I once was blind, but now I see. This man's whole life was changed. His whole life was changed. He's in heaven today, rejoicing today because of that event that happened in John chapter 9. And listen, if all he had gotten were his physical eyes open, he'd be in hell today. But his physical eyes being opened led to his spiritual eyes being opened, and he worships the King.
He can heal every scar.
Do you have blind spots in your life? Well, if you do, it's very difficult to see God's mission for your life. Tough to see who God really is and who you really are in Him. Today on From His Heart, part two of this message called Blind Spots from Dr. Jeff Shreve. And it's from the series, It's All About Jesus, based on the miracles from the book of John. You'll have your eyes opened today to what God really wants of you. Now, last time we began this lesson and discovered that we all have blind spots, but many people miss the best God has for them because they refuse to admit that they have blind spots to begin with. Of course, that declaration proves they have them. Well, today we'll learn the power and the hope that is revealed when we open our eyes to real truth found only in trusting Jesus Christ. Now, if you missed part one from yesterday, we'll catch you up to begin with. And of course, you can always listen again online to the whole message once we've aired it. Just go to fromhisheart.org. Now, if you're ready to begin, here's Pastor Jeff to shine some light on blind spots.
John chapter 9, I'll begin reading in verse 1. And as he passed by, he, meaning Jesus, saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he heals this man. I want you to notice with me three observations that speak to our hearts, that talk about what happens when the Lord opens your eyes. Number one, when your eyes are opened, you see the mission. The mission. And at the first of this story, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's teaching the disciples through example, and he's getting them to see the mission. The mission is to minister to people and to lead people to Christ. Don't fail to notice people. Man, we just get busy. We get focused on ourselves. We get focused on what we're doing. And we can pass right by people and not even see them. Hey, do you see people? As you go about your day, do you see people who are hurting? People that the Lord would want you to minister to, do you see them? And so that's the very first thing that I notice from this passage is when your eyes are open, you see the mission. Observation number two, when your eyes are opened, you stand up for Jesus. When the Lord said he's the light of the world, what happened? Verse 6, and when he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. And he said to this blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. Wow. Wow. Jesus made little mud cakes, put them on the guy's eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And the guy did that. And then he comes back seeing and it's wow. And the implication here is Jesus said, I was sent from the Father and I'm sending you to the pool of sent so that you can get your eyes so that you'll know that I am Messiah sent from God, because Messiah is the one who opens blind eyes. So there's a play there with the word sent. And the Lord heals him in such an interesting way. You know, the Lord does different things in different ways. You read about in the Bible how God healed blind Bartimaeus. How did he do it? Just with a word. He healed one guy that he touched his blind eyes and he saw. He healed another guy. He spit directly in his eyes. Wow, I think I would have said, Lord, if I have a choice of how to be healed, how about you just touch him? You know, but He spit in that guy's eye. This guy, he spit and made clay and then applied the clay to his eyes. God does things in different ways. Have you noticed that about the Lord? Anytime you think you have the Lord figured out and you have this little box where this is how God works, this is the little box that I have because God works that way. If you're gonna get healed from blindness, this is how it happens. And you could have four different churches. We're the church where the Lord just speaks to you. We're the church where the Lord touches your blindness. We're the church where the Lord spits right in your face, right in your eyes. And then the fourth guy would say, no. At our church, we make clay little mud cakes and we put them on people's eyes. He does it in different ways. Listen, the methods change. The message never changes. We need to be open to what the Lord is doing. So this guy gets healed. Wow, he's excited. Can you imagine? I was born blind and now I see. And he goes home and he goes back to his neighbors. And verse 8 says, the neighbors therefore and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is this not the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, nah. They were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. And he kept saying, hey, I'm the one. Ask me if it's me. It's me. I am the one. And then they said, well, how did this happen? And he says in verse 11, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed and I received sight. That's the first time this guy shared his story of what the Lord had done for him. Now he's going to share it again in chapter 9 with the Pharisees. He shared what the Lord did for him. He had a story. He stood up for Jesus. We're going to see this guy has tremendous courage to stand up for Jesus. Hey, when your eyes are open, you stand up for Jesus. Listen, don't be hesitant to share your story. To share your story. If Jesus has done in your life, you have something to tell people. You have a story to share with the nations, as the song says. You have something great to tell folks. Hey, this is what God did for me. Now, this guy's not a Christian yet. He's not a believer yet. He's going to get saved at the end of chapter 9, but he's still someone who has received from the Lord a great work of God, and he's telling people about it. He's not ashamed to stand up and tell people about what the Lord did for him. People can argue with the Bible. They can argue about creation. They can argue about this and argue about that, but it's really hard for them to argue with your story because it happened to you. This is what Jesus did for me. I once was blind, but now I see. If you have a story, don't be hesitant to share your story. This man's not hesitant to share his story. Well, he tells them, this is what happened to me. And they said to him in verse 12, where is he? And he says, I don't know. I don't know where this one Jesus who healed me, I don't know where he is. And then verse 13 says this, they brought to the Pharisees him who was formerly blind. They wanted the Pharisees to figure this out. They said, this doesn't make sense to us. We've never heard of anybody who was born blind that is healed, miraculously healed. So they take him to the Pharisees to see what the Pharisees have to say about this. Now, being taken to the Pharisees is like going to the principal's office. It's a scary thing to be taken to the Pharisee. Don't be hesitant to share your story and don't be intimidated by powerful people. The Pharisees were the power brokers in Israel at that time because all of life was tied into the Jewish religion and the Pharisees controlled the Jewish religion, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the 70, the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish Supreme Court. Man, they controlled things. And so they brought this guy to the Pharisees. Now, it was a Sabbath on the day that Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Whoa, would you look at that? Doing it on the Sabbath. Jesus broke two of their commandments right there. He didn't break any of God's commandments, but he broke two of their commandments. Number one commandment, you don't heal on the Sabbath. Healing is a work. Don't heal on the Sabbath. Listen, Jesus, you can heal any other day, but not on the Sabbath. And Jesus is like, oh, what day do you guys heal? Well, we never heal, but listen, that's beside the point. You don't heal on the Sabbath. And so Jesus healed on the Sabbath. It would drive them crazy. And then the second thing he did, he made mud cakes on the Sabbath. You can't make cakes on the Sabbath. That's a work. So he did two things to get their goat to drive them crazy, because they were just ridiculous, these guys. They made the Sabbath into an idol. Jesus told them on one occasion, he said, listen, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. You have turned the Sabbath into this huge idol, and now you serve the Sabbath. He said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I can do whatever I want on the Sabbath. And so it was on the Sabbath day, verse 15, again, therefore the Pharisees also were asking this blind man how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, watch this, this man is not from God. No way, no how, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. They said, therefore, to the blind man again, well, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, well, he's a prophet. Duh. He opened my eyes. I was born blind. He's not Willie off the pickle boat. This guy is somebody special. You should know that. The Jews, therefore, did not believe it of him that he had been born blind and he received his sight. And so they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight. That was the way they dealt with this. They're like, you're lying. You're not born blind. You're a plant. You're the guy that we see on television at these healing crusades, and you really can walk, but you're just on crutches, and it's just all a scam. You're not really blind. So they call his parents in. And what do his parents say? Like, yeah, that's our son. Was he born blind? Yeah, he was born blind. And they say, well, what happened to him? They say, I don't know. Ask him. He's not a kid. He's of legal age. You ask him. We don't know what happened to him. And the scripture says in verse 22, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Man, to be put out of the synagogue, you're excommunicated. You can't do anything in Jewish life if you're kicked out of the synagogue. Because all of Jewish life is tied into the synagogue and tied into the religious system that they had. And so to be excommunicated was, ooh, that's really bad. And so that's why his parents wouldn't say anything, because they were chicken. They were afraid. Don't be intimidated by powerful people. Don't be intimidated by religious people. The fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The blind man, the blind beggar who now can see, he's not intimidated. So they bring him back to the Jews. Verse 24, for a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. We know it. Oh, really? How do you know that? Well, we just know it. He opened my eyes. Did you hear about him feeding the multitudes, the 5,000 men plus women and children? Yeah, we heard about that. We know he's a sinner. Oh, did you hear about him raising the dead? Yeah, we heard about that, but we know he's a sinner. Oh, were you there when he took the deaf man and the dumb man and he healed him so he could hear and he could speak? Yeah, and you know how he did that? He did that by Beelzebul, the prince of the demons. Well, yeah, that's a pretty good explanation there. We know this man is a sinner. Listen, those people were totally closed to anything with Jesus. They had Jesus in this category of sinner. And no matter what he did, he could have called down the moon and spun it on his finger and they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe. No matter what he did, they would not believe. And so they come after this blind man. Listen, don't be surprised when there is retaliation when you stand up for Christ. Don't be surprised at retaliation. Verse 25, he therefore answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That's his story. They said therefore to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Now watch this dig. You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? They didn't like that. And verse 28, and they reviled him. They abused him. They started calling him names. They might have even cussed at him. You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. Oh, you're the big brain trust in Israel. You are the high muckety-mucks in Israel. And here's this guy, Jesus, and he's performing miracles all over the place, and you don't even know where he's from. Wow. Well, you ought to do your homework. See, they said, he's from Nazareth. Jesus wasn't from Nazareth. I mean, he came from Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. They could have done a little research and found that out. But they just put him in this box and said, no, he's not our Messiah. You know why they said that? Because he exposed them for being fakes and frauds and liars and religious phonies, and they hated his guts for it. So no matter what Jesus did, he was in this box. We know this man is not from God. Why, he breaks the Sabbath. We don't know where he was born. We don't know where he's from. And so we reject him. In verse 30, the man answered and said to them, well, here's an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. How amazing is that? You know, it's amazing that he opened my eyes, but it's even more amazing that you refuse to see it. And did you notice not one of the Pharisees said, hey, that's pretty cool that now you can see. Not one of them patted him on the back. Not one of them rejoiced with him. You know, one thing you'll find about Pharisees, they couldn't give a rip about people. Not a rip about people. It's all about themselves. And so verse 31, he says, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? And they put him out. They threw him out of the synagogue. Hey, you know, if you take a stand for Jesus Christ in this world, the world will not love you. The world will hate you. You students, you take a stand for Jesus Christ, I mean to really walk with God at your school, you're gonna have people make fun of you. You're gonna have people revile you. You're gonna have people call you names. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Listen, your reward in heaven is great when you stand up for the Lord and you say, I'm not going to be intimidated by man. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And if God calls me and puts me on a stage and I can stand up for Jesus and everyone else is against me, I need to stand up for Jesus. Hey, when your eyes are really open, you see the mission. And number two, you stand up for Jesus. And number three, you humbly worship Jesus. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered and said, and who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees, watch this, who were with him, heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. Well, you say, what does all that mean? Well, it means this. The man worshiped Jesus. His heart was touched. His heart was changed. His physical eyes were open. And then Jesus met him and introduced himself to him that he was the Son of Man, which in Daniel chapter 7 is a direct reference to Messiah God, and this man believed, and he worshiped the Lord. He received the Lord, and he worshiped him. The word worship literally means to crouch down in homage. It's a picture of a dog licking his master's hand, and this man bowed down and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship is restricted for God and God alone, and Jesus Christ is God. This man's whole life was changed. His whole life was changed. He's in heaven today, rejoicing today because of that event that happened in John chapter 9. And listen, if all he had gotten were his physical eyes open, he'd be in hell today. But his physical eyes being opened led to his spiritual eyes being opened, and he worships the King.
As we see from this incident in the Lord's life here on earth, his miracles of healing went far beyond merely the physical. It's spiritual blindness that can be so devastating. Pastor Jeff Shree returns on From His Heart in just a moment to close out this lesson about blind spots that we all have. So stay tuned. You know, when Lazarus died, his family had some significant spiritual blind spots. They thought, "This is not fair, Lord. This is not right. Jesus, how could you let this happen?" Now, the reality is we live in a constant fog of our limited understanding, our finite brains trying to understand an infinite God. Pastor Jeff has written a powerful booklet resource based on the greatest miracle Jesus ever performed, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And from this great story, we'll learn what to do when God doesn't make sense. This resource is our thank you gift for your financial support of any amount to From His Heart this month. To get your copy, go online to fromhisheart.org or call 1-800-985-1530, 1-800-985-1530, and ask for the booklet, When God Doesn't Make Sense. And if you're able to give a gift of $35 or more, we'll also send you Jeff's 8-message series in CD format, It's All About Jesus. Again, go online for details at fromhisheart.org. But now let's close out the message on blind spots and make sense of it all. Here again is Jeff.
How can your spiritual eyes be opened? Number one, you see him for who he is. He is not just Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth. He's the Word made flesh. He is God in the flesh. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You see God for who he is. And then, big one, you see yourself for who you are. The beggar didn't need anyone to tell him that he was a nothing, nobody, zero. He knew that. He was a beggar most of his whole life. And so he knew when he was presented with the Savior, man, he's like ripe fruit. All he had to, you just had to kind of nudge it like that. And he dropped right out and said, "Yes, I want to believe." He was ready to go because he knew who he was. He knew who Jesus was, and he gave his heart to Christ. You know who the ones didn't see themselves? The Pharisees. Pharisees refuse to see their own sin. They are spiritually blind. Now, the physically blind can't see the sun. The spiritually blind can't see their sin. All of us have to deal with the sin in our hearts if we're going to come to Christ, if we're going to really worship him in spirit and truth. Hey, do you see? Can you see spiritual things? Can you see spiritual truth? Has God spoken to your heart today? If you have blind spots, will you let Jesus open your eyes and change your life?
Well, if you're one who's willing to admit that you've been spiritually blind and you believe God is calling you to repent and put faith in Christ, you can do that today. Or maybe you're someone who hears the hope in Jeff's message, but you can't understand how to take hold of it. Well, let me invite you to visit our website and click on the first tab on our homepage. It's called Why Jesus. And there you'll be able to investigate more about who Jesus is, how you can surrender your life to him, how you can turn everything over to him, why he matters, and what is his will for your life, and much more. Just go to the Why Jesus tab right on the homepage at fromhisheart.org. There too, you can also download some free materials to help you get started in your Christian life. Well, I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for being with us here today and hoping that you'll join us tomorrow as we begin the last lesson in Pastor Jeff's It's All About Jesus series. And it'll shed some great light on the mysteries of God. Join us for the message that'll get to the root of our problem, trying to understand an infinite God with a finite mind. It's the message When God Doesn't Make Sense. Tomorrow here on From His Heart. This program is sponsored by From His Heart Ministries, the listener-supported outreach of Dr. Jeff Shree, who believes that no matter how badly you've messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.